Welcome to The Word Unveiled, our continuing series of programs about our faith, produced by St. Malachy Catholic Church in Sterling Heights, Michigan. Our pastor is Father Joseph Gambala. Our technical wizards are Zach Murphy and Ursula Kraus, and my name is Gordon Peck. Our program is The Shepherd in Sacred Scripture. But first, let us begin in prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, give us attentive ears with which to hear the word of God, a contrite soul where the word of God can take root, and a loving heart for sharing the word of God with everyone we meet. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, a shepherd or a sheepherder is a person who tends herds, feeds, or guards flocks of sheep. The word shepherd derives from the Old English sheepherd. Sheep meaning sheep and herd meaning herder. And sheep herding is one of the world's oldest occupations. So let's talk about the first shepherd, and that would be Abel, son of Adam and Eve. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. The man had intercourse with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain, saying, I have produced a male child with help of the Lord. And next she gave birth to his brother Abel, and Abel became a herder of flocks, and Cain a tiller of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought an offering to the Lord from the fruit of the ground, while Abel, for his part, brought the fatty portion of the firstlings of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offerings, but on Cain and his offerings he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry and dejected. And then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why are you dejected? If you act rightly, you will be accepted. But if not, sin lies in wait at the door. Its urge is for you, yet you can rule over it. Cain said to his brother Abel, let us go out into the field. And when they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. And then the Lord asked Cain, where is your brother Abel? And he answered, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? Well, Abel is the first person in Scripture to be described as a shepherd. He's also a younger son, beginning a tradition that repeats in Scripture with other younger sons. We have Isaac being the most important of the two brothers, and he's younger than his brother Ishmael. And then Jacob is just barely younger than Esau. Joseph is much younger than most of his brothers. And David is younger than all of his seven brothers. So the younger son takes on an interesting role in Scripture. So Abel's the first shepherd, and Abel's also the first person slain in anger. In many ways, an innocent sacrifice and a prefigurement of our Lord Jesus Christ. The next person we have is Joseph, shepherd for all. Well, Israel, or that is Jacob, loved his son Joseph best of all his sons. And he gave him a beautiful tunic. But his brothers hated Joseph because of their father's favoritism. Genesis chapter 37, we read, once Joseph had a dream, and when he told his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, listen to this dream I had. There we were, binding sheaves in the field, when suddenly my sheaf rose up to an upright position, and your sheaves formed a ring around my sheaf and bowed down to it. His brothers said to him, are you really going to make yourself king over us? Will you rule over us? So they hated him all the more because of his dreams and his reports. And Joseph's brothers then sold him into slavery, and he was taken to Egypt, where he was purchased by Potiphar, a court official. Potiphar's wife tried to seduce Joseph, but when he resisted, because his Lord forbid such things, she had him thrown into prison. And while in prison, Joseph interprets dreams of the steward and the baker. And Potiphar learns of this and tells the steward to notify Pharaoh of Joseph's gift. Well, Pharaoh has been plagued by a recurring dream. Joseph interprets Pharaoh's dream of the seven cows and seven stalks as impending doom for civilization. Pharaoh decides to place Joseph in charge of the nation and mobilizes all production to store up grain for the coming famine. And people from other nations then come to Egypt to obtain grain for bread, because they're in a state of famine as well. And Joseph oversees all of these distributions. One day, with tears in his eyes, Joseph sees his brothers standing in line for the grain distribution. Genesis chapter 45, verse 3. "I am Joseph," he told his brothers. "Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could give him no answer, so dumbfounded were they at him. "Come closer to me," Joseph told his brothers. When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into slavery. But now do not be distressed, and do not be angry with yourselves for having sold me here. It was really for the sake of saving lives that God sent me here ahead of you. God therefore sent me on ahead of you to ensure for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives in an extraordinary deliverance. So it was not really you, but God who had made me come here, and he has made me a father to Pharaoh, lord of all his household, and rulers over the whole land of Egypt. Before your father died, he gave us these instructions. Thus you shall say to Joseph, please forgive the criminal wrongdoings of your brothers." This is a paper that the brothers gave to Joseph, "who treated you harmfully. So now please forgive the crime that we, the servants of God of your father, committed." And when they said this to him, Joseph broke into tears. And then his brothers also proceeded to fling themselves down before him and said, "We are your slaves." But Joseph replied to them, "Do not fear. Can I take the place of God? Even though you meant harm to me, God meant it for good, to achieve this present end, the survival of many people. So now do not fear. I will provide for you and for your children." By thus speaking kindly to them, he reassured them. And Joseph remained in Egypt together with his father's household, and he lived to 110 years. So Joseph is the shepherd. That's what he did day in and day out. He's imprisoned on false charges. And in spite of his treatment, Joseph stays close to the Lord throughout his ordeal. That's a remarkable thing. That's a wonderful thing that he could do that. His role in the divine plan is to be a type of savior for the then known world, and his life anticipates the coming of the Messiah. We next turn to Moses, shepherd of a nation. Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Meanwhile, Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. Leading the flock beyond the wilderness, he came to the mountain of God named Horeb, and there the angel of the Lord appeared to him as fire flaming out of a bush. When he looked, although the bush was on fire, it was not being consumed. So Moses decided, "I must turn aside to look at this remarkable sight. Why does the bush not burn up?" And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, God called out to him from the bush, "Moses, Moses," he answered, "Here I am." So Pharaoh's resistance in allowing the Hebrew tribes to leave Egypt culminates with the 10th plague, the Passover. And each family obtains a lamb to be roasted and eaten, and the blood to be smeared on the doorposts and lintels. This action saves each family from the angel of death, who passes over the Hebrew houses and brings suffering to the Egyptians. Moses' life was lived in three 40-year segments. First, he was a prince of Egypt for 40 years. Then he was a shepherd in Midian for 40 years. And then he was the shepherd of the 12 tribes of Israel for the remaining 40 years of his life. He followed the word of the Lord, received a new covenant, the law, the 12 commandments, and he brought all safely to the promised land in accordance with the covenant with Abraham. So the covenant made by the Lord with Abraham was fulfilled and continued by Moses' work. Now we come to David, shepherd, king, and poet. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Samuel did as the Lord commanded him. And when he entered Bethlehem, the elders of the city came trembling to meet him and asked, "Is your visit peaceful, O seer?" He replied, "Yes, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. So purify yourselves and celebrate with me today." He also had Jesse and his sons purify themselves, invited them to the sacrifice. And as they came, he looked at Eliab and thought, "Surely the anointed is here before the Lord." The Lord has told him that he will show him the future king. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not judge from his appearance or from his lofty stature, because I have rejected him. God does not see as a mortal who sees the appearance. The Lord looks into the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab, and he presented him before Samuel, who said, "The Lord has not chosen him." And next Jesse presented Shema, but Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." And then Samuel asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" And Jesse replied, "There is still the youngest, but he is tending the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send for him. We will not sit down to eat until he arrives here." So Jesse had the young man brought to them, and the Lord said, "There, anoint him, for this is the one." And then Samuel, with the horn of oil in hand, anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David. As a shepherd, David learned to use a sling and to play a harp. The sling became the conquering weapon over the sinful Philistines. He learned how to use a sling to keep wolves and bears from attacking his sheep at night, but now it becomes the sling that he slays Goliath with. And the harp became a powerful instrument of prayer and reflection as David used it in composing the Psalms. David writes 90% of all the Psalms. The musical instrument proved more enduring and powerful than the weapon of the sling. The vast majority of the Psalms, 73, were composed by David, and the Psalms address praise of God, thanksgiving, lament, faith and hope, and most of the Psalms were intended for liturgical uses. They were meant to be sung. We have the words, we don't have the music, and yet we have put these Psalms to music, and we use them in every one of our masses. Psalm 23, let's look at that one. Faith in the Shepherd. Psalm 23, a Psalm of David. First section. The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I lack. In green pastures he makes me lie down. To still waters he leads me, he restores my soul. He guides me along right paths for the sake of his name. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. You set a table before me in the front of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Indeed, goodness and mercy will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord for endless days. So now we have prophets who are shepherds in service. Shepherds were often regarded as dishonest in Israel and Judah. And ironically, spiritual leadership continued to come from persons who were or who had been shepherds. And shepherds were frequently regarded as robbers because their flocks would wander over farmland and eat the fruits of the fields and then flee. And a shepherd's testimony would not be accepted in a court or a dispute. Now, goats standing on their hind legs, eating all the fruit and leaves off a fig tree. That's what that picture is. Those are two goats standing up to eat fruit way above their heads. Shepherds were often hired and would flee at the first sign of trouble, abandoning the flock. That is, a hired shepherd would flee. Shepherds who owned the flocks would stay awake at night to protect the flocks from predators or thieves. And shepherds like David were unusual and rare. Now we have the words of Amos from the first chapter of Amos. Amos, who was one of the sheep breeders from Tekoa, which he received in a vision concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. He said, "The Lord roars from Zion and raises his voice from Jerusalem. The pastures of the shepherds languish, and the summit of Carmel withers. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the flock of my pasture, oracle of the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, against the shepherds who shepherd my people. You have scattered my sheep and driven them away. You have not cared for them, but I will take care to punish your evil deeds. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock from all the lands to which I have banished them and bring them back to their folds. There they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds for them who will shepherd them so that they need no longer fear or be terrified. None shall be missing, oracle of the Lord." So now we have shepherds on watch. Luke chapter 2, We should all be very familiar with this. Now there were shepherds in that region living in the fields and keeping the night watch over their flock. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were struck with great fear. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is Messiah and Lord, and this will be a sign for you. You will find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host, with the angels praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels went away from them to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go then to Bethlehem to see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So the angels appeared to them and sang and told them what was happening. And then when the angels departed, then the shepherds go on. So they went in haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the infant lying in the manger. And when they saw this, they made known the message that had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed by what had been told them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. And of course, we have Jesus, the Good Shepherd. When a lamb was born, the shepherd would pick it up and talk into its ear for some time so that the lamb would remember the shepherd's voice. If the lamb ever strayed and became lost, the shepherd would search for it, then pick it up again and put it on his shoulders and speak to it and as he brought it back to the flock so that the lamb would relearn the shepherd's voice. Luke chapter 15. So to them he addressed this parable. What man among you having 100 sheep and losing one of them would not leave the 99 in the desert and go after the lost one until he finds it? And when he does find it, he sets it on his shoulders with great joy, and upon his arrival home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and says to them, "Rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep." I tell you, in just the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate but climbs over elsewhere is a thief and a robber. But whoever enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice, as he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has driven out all his own, he walks ahead of them, and the sheep will follow him, because they recognize his voice. But they will not follow a stranger. They will run away from him, because they do not recognize the voice of strangers. Although Jesus used this figure of speech, they did not realize what he was trying to tell them. So Jesus said again, "Amen, amen, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy. I came so that they might have life and have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired man who is not a shepherd and whose sheep are not his own sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf catches and scatters them. This is because he works for pay and has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know mine and mine know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I will lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. These also I must lead, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have power to lay it down and power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father." So God became a man and dwelt among us and referred to himself as the Good Shepherd. All the shepherds who came before were a prefigurement of Christ, the Good Shepherd. Christ is the Good Shepherd who lays down his life for us all. And furthermore, Christ is the Good Shepherd to all peoples, Jews and Gentiles, and the whole world. The Catechism of the Catholic Church says this in section 754. The Church is, accordingly, a sheepfold, the sole and necessary gateway to which is Christ. It is also the flock of which God himself foretold that he would be the shepherd, and whose sheep, even though governed by human shepherds, are unfailingly nourished and led by Christ himself, the good shepherd and the prince of shepherds who gave his life for his sheep. Jesus, the Lamb of God. John chapter 1. And this is the testimony of John. When the Jews from Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to him to ask him, "Who are you?" he admitted and did not deny it, but admitted, "I am not the Messiah." This is John the Baptist. So they asked him, "What are you then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you, so we can give an answer to those who sent us? What do you have to say for yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the desert, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as Isaiah the prophet said." And some Pharisees were also sent, and they asked him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Messiah or Elijah or the prophet?" And John answered them, "I baptize with water, but there is one among you whom you do not recognize, the one who is coming after me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to untie." The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one to whom I said, 'A man is coming after me, who ranks ahead of me, because he existed before me. I do not know him, but the reason why I came baptizing with water was that he might be made known to Israel.'" And John testified further, saying, "I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from the sky and remain upon him. I did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'On whomever you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' Now I have seen and testified that he is the Son of God." In Revelation chapter 5, we read, "I saw a scroll in the right hand of the one who sat on the throne. It had writing on both sides and was sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a mighty angel who proclaimed in a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?' But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to examine it. I shed many tears because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to examine it. And one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed, enabling him to open the scroll with its seven seals.' And then I saw standing in the midst of the throne and the four living creatures and the elders, a lamb that seemed to have been slain. He had seven horns and seven eyes. These are the seven spirits of God sent out into the whole world. He came and received the scroll from the right hand of the one who sat on the throne. Then he took it. The four living creatures, the 24 elders, fell down before the Lamb, and each of the elders held a harp and gold bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of the holy ones. They sang a new hymn, 'Worthy are you to receive the scroll and to break open its seals, for you are slain, and with your blood you purchased for God those from every tribe and tongue, people and nation. You made them a kingdom and priests for our God, and they will reign on earth.' I looked again and heard the voices of many angels who surrounded the throne and the living creatures and the elders. They were countless in number, and they cried out in a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches, wisdom and strength, honor and glory and blessing.' Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, everything in the universe, cry out, 'To the one who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor, glory and might forever and ever.' The four living creatures answered, 'Amen,' and the elders fell down and worshiped." The Catechism of the Catholic Church in section 608 says, "After agreeing to baptize him along with the sinners, John the Baptist looked at Jesus and pointed him out as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. By doing so, he reveals that Jesus is at the same time the suffering servant who silently allows himself to be led to slaughter and who bears the sin of the multitudes and also of the Paschal Lamb, the symbol of Israel's redemption at the first Passover. Christ's whole life expresses his mission to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So let's conclude with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Thanks for listening. Peace be with you.